Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. Emotional maturity is one of the real secrets of human happiness. Herbert W. Armstrong wrote this in the August 1978 Plain Truth, and he was absolutely right. Emotional maturity is something that we must learn. We're probably all aware that emotional maturity is not automatic. It is not instinctual. It does take real effort to develop this godly character trait. We have to really strive to obtain this real secret of human happiness. Now, this article by Mr. Armstrong really is extremely helpful. It's applicable to us in all areas of life. Every day, we're going to have experiences that will test our emotional maturity. Perhaps we wake up late in the morning and now we're behind schedule. How do we respond to that? Is our day ruined? Do we just fall into a state of dejection and give up the rest of the day? Do we quit trying? If we fall into a sin, do we let that avalanche into even more entrenched sins and problems? And again, decide that we're just going to quit fighting. If we have a disagreement with a sibling or a spouse, are we able to control our tongue so that we don't say something that we'll really regret once we finally calm down? Do we have a temper that flies off the handle and causes lasting damage to our relationships? What if something goes wrong at work or at school? There are all kinds of opportunities where our emotional maturity is put to the test. Mr. Armstrong actually had a pretty great definition of emotions. He described emotions as disturbances, departures from a calm state of rational right thinking and acting. Disturbances and departures from a calm state of rational right thinking and acting. Now, emotions are, of course, not always bad. There are plenty of good emotions. God is emotional. But emotions are impulses that cause us to take action or to express our feelings. We have to make sure that our emotions are guided by truth, by logic, by sound thinking. Our emotions must be guided by God's law. We can't just get worked up emotionally, out of control, to the point that we start disobeying God, maybe getting angry about something that God wouldn't get angry about, or becoming overly sad about something that really isn't worth all of that extra emotion. There are things that could easily spiral out of control if we don't really diligently guard our emotions. Mr. Armstrong wrote in that August 1978 Plain Truth, "Our emotions need to be understood, taught, trained, and controlled by the mind." And notice this point Mr. Armstrong made. He explained emotional maturity as the development away from Satan's get way of life to God's give way of life. Transitioning from getting to giving. It's a totally different lifestyle. It's a transition from acting on the impulses of our selfish human nature to expressing godly love. Again, emotions stir us to action, but what kind of action? That's the question. Is it selfish or is it sacrificing? Is it getting or is it giving? That's really how we can see whether we are emotionally mature. Emotional maturity grows as we learn to think more like God. As we learn to make the same decisions God would make in any given situation. And if you think about it, that's what life is all about. Becoming just like God. Developing the very perfect, holy, righteous character of God. Mr. Armstrong declared, to rightly direct his actions is man's purpose in life. That's what it's all about. We need God to help us in this area. Proverbs 10, verse 23 tells us that we don't know how to direct our steps. We don't know how to go God's way without God's help. God has to step in. He has to get involved to help us go the right way, control our emotions, control our tongue. Mr. Armstrong wrote, "One is not really mature until emotionally and spiritually grown up, as well as physically and mentally." You have the four quadrants there: emotional, spiritual, physical, and mental maturity. They all work together. Emotional, spiritual, physical, and mental health as well. All work together. Someone who is spiritually healthy, close to God, mentally healthy with a positive attitude, someone who is in control of his emotions, who is physically healthy as well, that person will thrive and be very mature in all of those areas. We are surrounded by a society that does not have emotional maturity. You've probably noticed that people have no control over what they say anymore. Even just 5 or 10 years ago, men would try to at least not curse in front of women and children. That standard is completely gone. You can't take children to a sporting event or to lunch out in public without overhearing all kinds of filthy language. But these people don't put any effort into controlling their speech. And if they're in a situation, maybe a formal environment or a professional environment, where they are expected not to curse, it still slips out because it's ingrained habit and they have no control. It's not just controlling speech, of course. The consequences of emotional immaturity are all around us, and they are severe, as people are just led around by their vain, lustful, greedy impulses. Countless lives have been wrecked by emotional immaturity. Consider some of these consequences. ruined friendships, toxic relationships, teen pregnancy, abortion, divorce, broken homes, career failure, bankruptcy, criminal behavior, addiction, accidental death, and even suicide. This rush to gratify the senses and to just be selfish and live the get way of life, emotions out of control, literally leads to death. Now, Mr. Armstrong clarified, but emotional maturity does not mean emotionless maturity. The emotionally mature do express at the right time and in proper degree enthusiasm, happiness, joy. They do feel deep gratitude for blessings, and also they deeply feel reverence, adoration in the worship of God. They sincerely feel compassion toward others, a feeling of true outgoing concern. They express sympathy and have mercy. Emotionally mature people are stirred to action, to give, to love, to share, to serve, to cooperate, to share. It's a wonderful, wonderful way. Using those emotions God's way, having the same emotions God does. Now, this is very difficult, obviously. It's a lot easier said than done to have emotional maturity. Again, it probably is something we have to keep on working at and developing for a lifetime. It does take a lot of time. Proverbs 25, verse 28 says, "He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." That's Proverbs 25, verse 28. God does expect us to be under control at all times. This is actually really, like I said, a matter of life or death. It's a matter of even keeping ourselves safe from evil spiritual forces. There is a dark, evil, perverted spirit realm with Satan and millions of demons looking to take advantage of people who can't control their emotions. There's a really classic story that Mr. Armstrong relates in his autobiography. This is from pages 60 to 62 under the subhead Coddling a Temper. Mr. Armstrong had a rather unpleasant experience with a man at a printing plant. This was back when a printer would have to set all the type by hand, basically letter by letter. Quite a time-consuming job. And anytime a printer would pie the type or allow that type to slip out of his hand and fall to the ground, then the printer would have to go right back, pick it all up, sort it all out, put it back into the case letter by letter, and start all over again. As Mr. Armstrong said, this job was a severe test on patience. And the printer Mr. Armstrong was dealing with did not have very much patience in this story. Mr. Armstrong actually said the only thing wrong with this man's temper was that he made no attempt to control it. He was proud of it. He pampered it. He bragged about it. But I just think that's an interesting way of putting it. The only thing wrong with a temper is when we make no attempt to control it. Obviously, God becomes wrathful. God becomes angry and upset by sin, by evil, by the suffering of mankind, by the rebellion of the angels. There are things worth being emotionally roused by. But when it gets out of control, that's when it becomes a problem. Mr. Armstrong explains what happened in this situation. He can't even remember why the printer got so mad at him. But then the printer raved, swore, shouted, called names. Then he did the same thing to Mr. Armstrong's business partner, Mr. Borman, even more violently. And finally, the printer's boss had to call in the printer and correct him in front of Mr. Armstrong and Mr. Borman and demand an apology from him, and told the printer to give his word that this outburst of temper would never be repeated or else he would be fired on the spot. Mr. Borman then accepted the apology and gave some advice to this man. He said, "You're a very competent printer and a fine and likable fellow, except when you let loose a burst of temper. I'd like to give you a little advice as a friend, for we like you. I've noticed that you have bragged about that temper of yours. You've been proud of your ability to lose your head. You've nursed it along as if it were your baby you love. You've never tried to control it. Now a temper is a mighty good thing, as long as it is under perfect control and directed by the mind in good judgment. When you learn to control it, then that's something to be proud of. You've just been proud of it in the wrong state of action. That's all that's wrong." Mr. Armstrong concludes this section of the autobiography on page 62, "Never let tempers get out of control." Now, this is something where we could even come under the influence or control of demons. I've seen several cases of this where people do just become enraged and they'll fight other people for the slightest provocation, or they'll hit themselves, or they'll hit the wall or whatever. I mean, they'll just absolutely lose their minds. They'll start breaking things. And it is really dangerous because a lot of the time a demon does get involved and these people start seeing, you know, shadows dancing on the wall. They start having even more dangerous thoughts because they've opened their minds to some seriously evil influences. We do need to be very careful with emotions and pray to God for help. Now, like I mentioned before, probably one of the toughest areas when it comes to emotional maturity is controlling our tongue. If you have trouble with saying the wrong thing sometimes in the heat of the moment, well, you're not alone. That's something that probably all of us have slipped up and done before. That's one of the biggest challenges God gives to us. Notice here, James chapter 3, verse 2 says, "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." It is simply a fact of life that at one point or another, whether or not you have realized it, you have offended someone with your words. We don't need to be paranoid about that necessarily, but we do need to keep tight control, a strong bridle on that tongue, to make sure we're not saying things out of place or saying things with the wrong tone of voice or saying things at the wrong time. Some things are better said by certain people and not by others. Maybe someone in authority should say something versus someone who is following. Every situation requires godly wisdom to be able to discern what is right. James 3 continues, verse 3, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." Verse 4, "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm wherever the governor lists." Verse 5, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles." I love these analogies here. A horse is a powerful beast, and yet you put a bridle in its mouth, and you can move its head side to side. You can change the direction that the horse moves. A ship, a majestic vessel, can be controlled by a helm or a rudder. Wherever this puny little pilot or ship's captain wants to go. Very powerful things can be controlled by very small direction. Very small instruments. And the same is true of the human body. The human tongue is minuscule compared to the entire body, and yet it controls our entire life. The words we speak will make or break us. And so sometimes, really all the time, it is worth pausing for a second, taking a deep breath, smiling, maybe praying in that instant for God's help. Before we speak, before we respond, we don't always need to whip out a quick, witty, biting response, cutting people with our tongue as if it's a sword. God certainly would not approve. Maybe a little bit of banter is fun sometimes, but even then, the best jokes are always when we direct them at ourselves and not at other people. We want to be very careful to avoid provoking other people to wrath by the words that we speak. Or we want to also avoid responding in wrath when maybe someone doesn't deserve it, or even if they do deserve it, it's not always appropriate. We have to keep our emotions under control. Emotions will make all the difference in life, not just in terms of the words we speak, but even in all the decisions that we make. If we are stirred to action to give rather than to get, if we are motivated to live God's way of life and keep His law, then our emotions will fall in line with that. We need guidance and direction from God. We have to make decisions about our bedtime, our diet, our leisure activities, our career, our relationships, our priorities. These are all things that require emotional maturity. And when we can develop this beautiful character trait with God's help, we will be on the path to real success in life. We will enjoy one of the real secrets of human happiness. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments@kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.